A while back, the Old Mole segment we call Another World is Possible brought you a science fiction novel by Kim Stanley Robinson. The novel is called The Ministry for the Future. In it, the author sketches out his vision of the practical political steps for dealing with climate change. I hope that discussion encouraged some of you to read the book. It's an odd effort, sometimes technical about the science and engineering and financing, but writing it as a novel with fictional characters draws the reader in to what amounts to a dialogue with the book about the practicality and plausibility of the steps the author outlines. Robinson's point is that we can go beyond the limited binary of either, on the one hand, protesting the lack of government efforts around climate change, or, on the other, restricting ourselves to fantasizing a utopian future in which the problems have all been solved, giving us a detailed scenario for how change might occur, how we might make it happen, is meant to inspire us to see the possibilities for practical action. As he presents it, one key to the needed transition is the transformation of our political and financial institutions, both national and international. Today, I want to look at another effort to address practical steps in the needed transformation of our institutions. This one is not a novel, and not focused so exclusively on climate change, but on the whole gamut of crises and horrors brought about by our profit-driven economic system. The book is The Socialist Challenge Today by Leo Panitch and Sam Gindin, along with Stephen Marr. The little snippets I select from the book will be read by Patricia Kohlberg. I'm Norm Diamond, for Another World is Possible. That was our theme music, We Have the Guillotine by The Coup. The thesis of the Socialist Challenge Today is that there's been a shift in the left from protest to politics, from street demonstrations to joining and engaging with existing political institutions, and that this shift has been worldwide. As examples, the authors cite the Podemos movement in Spain, Syriza in Greece, the Jeremy Corbyn insurgency in Britain's Labour Party, and, you guessed it, the Bernie Sanders phenomenon in the US of A. More than describing this shift, their focus is on what the left can accomplish through it. In other words, like Kim Stanley Robinson's novel, they want us to focus on practicality. Their starting point, that we've shifted from protest to what they call politics, deserves at least a brief examination. I've never thought protest was an accurate characterization of what we do. That choice of word emphasizes negation, rejection, whereas what we do, what we should be doing even more, is simultaneously offering an alternative to what we're protesting, an affirmative vision, distinct from the policies and institutions and way of living that we're rejecting. And by the shift to practical politics, they don't mean to say that we have, nor that we should, abandon street actions and grassroots organizing. Indeed, they recognize that the only way that participating in the electoral process or holding any sort of political office can accomplish anything is if it is supported and pushed by mass mobilization. I want to emphasize that because it's crucially important. Repeatedly, when left social movements have chosen to participate in governments or in the process of going into governments, that is, in elections, they've ended up demobilizing those social movements. They've drawn some of the best activists out of the movements into government and the electoral process. The weakened movements, with leading cadre gone, have been put in the position of waiting for governments to do something on their behalf, while those in government, with lesser movements pressuring them, have been limited in what they actually could accomplish. So what then could socialism in office, backed by a mass movement, accomplish in present circumstances? After studying Podemos and Syriza, the British Labour Party, and the movement around Bernie Sanders, what should socialists aim at, and what are the dangers of entering into politics that way, and the dilemmas?
How to enter the state to change what it does, let alone change what it is. How to implement reform measures in such ways as to advance, rather than close off, future socialist possibilities.
The fundamental objective for these authors remains the same, in office or out of office: strengthening working class consciousness. In other words, the recognition by the vast majority of the population that they have basic interests in common, that those interests are in opposition to those who profit from their labor, and that as workers joining together, they have the capacity to construct a far more humane society. So a better phrasing of the underlying question is, how can our participation in the institutions of the state enhance working class consciousness? In the first instance, the authors say, by transforming the institutions of the state, not expecting to be able to use the state as it is, designed to serve elite interests, but changing it, making it more permeable to popular pressure, using it to establish areas of direct democracy outside of the state, directing its agencies to expand economic democracy under local control, using its authority to redirect investment even in what's been the private sphere, making finance and industry responsive to social needs. What if, and this is my own example, not one of theirs, what if the billions of government dollars presently going into new battery factories for electric vehicles came with requirements that the owners could not fight unionization efforts, that the old factories be converted to windmill and public transportation production instead of shutting down, that the ownership of both old and new revert to a new enterprise to be established with significant worker input? Drawing on the experience of the U.S. and Europe, the authors cite many already existing examples to build on. Toward that process of transformation, the authors are aware of profound dilemmas.
Giant steps are impossible, yet small steps risk being swallowed into the logic of the system.
We're not talking about 19th century vision of street barricades and a sudden overthrow of the government and ruling class. Rather, their vision is of a long war of position over many years. As they look at the means presently available to us, they're wary of existing political parties, seeing a further dilemma in the
limits and possibilities of democratizing and radicalizing those old working class parties through which social struggles from below had come to be channeled into the narrow framework of existing capitalist democracies.
They talk reasonably and practically about the changes that will have to happen in the labor movement, a topic I've addressed and will continue to address in other episodes of Another World is Possible. And they take on the challenge of maintaining popular support through the hardships and difficulties that are bound to arise in the transformation from one economic system to another, even if the new one will ultimately be far better for nearly everyone.
The basic problem for any government oriented to pursuing a socialist project is that the very challenge to capital's hegemony will likely spark or aggravate an economic crisis that will make it difficult to satisfy popular expectations for the promised relief from inequality and austerity. How to cope with this while not pushing off to an indefinite future the measures needed to begin the transformation of the state is the crucial socialist political challenge.
I've been talking about The Socialist Challenge Today by Leo Panitch and Sam Gindin, along with Stephen Marr. The book raises a range of important strategic issues. I focused today on the need, if socialists are going to participate in electoral politics and political office, not only to advocate for good policies, but to transform the institutions in which they participate. The book is worth engaging with. This has been Norm Diamond, sure that another world is possible, and for the Old Mole Variety Hour.